This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and I'm so excited that you joined with me today, and I hope everyone's doing great this week. And as always, you know, you guys have been great supporters of the ministry and financially, prayerfully, and if you're like me, we just take this amazing, beautiful journey we live on in this life, and we learn from the kingdom of God, and we let God use life to just show us some great things about who God is. And so today, I'm going to talk to you guys about something very important to me. It's really been burning in my heart. It's something I really don't really want to discuss, to be honest with you, but it's something that has happened recently that I wanted to bring to your attention, just to help awaken each one of you to the reality of what we call mental illness and depression and suicide and taking your life, those type of things. And for many of you who don't know, actually one of my very, very, very close friends, him and his wife, he had committed suicide a couple of days ago, and it's been really hard on his family, his wife, his kids, my family, so many friends of ours who are just left perplexed, really wondering what would happen, why, you know. And one of the things my friend did, he was powerful, had an amazing podcast, spoke on mental illness for years because he knew he had that. And he had, you know, even tried suicide once before, 2012. But then it sort of pushed him in the right direction. God just opened the door for him to, you know, to go around speaking, and once again with this podcast, teaching on the issues. And sometimes the enemy just sort of, you just allow the enemy to come in and just take the best of you at that moment. And so during that moment, he took his life, and this past weekend, and it's been very hard on each one of us. And I wanted to, it's something I normally would not address in a podcast, but I wanted to today because, you know what, one thing I realized is we really don't know what people deal with and what people go through. And even though we can say we want to always think positive, we want to always keep our head in the clouds, we want to, you know, call, you know, thoughts becoming things, we want to call those things to be not as though they were. We want to believe for God for the impossible, to live a victorious life, and all of that is so true. However, through all of that, we cannot neglect the fact that people are hurting. We can't neglect the fact that sometimes people go through and live a life of a nightmare. And on the outside, you would never know it. They could have a smile on their face, you know, hugging you or wanting to go to dinner with you. But sometimes we really don't know what goes into the mind of man and what happens. And with that being said, I want each one of us today to really examine ourselves, to really, you know, get a check in your spirit. Ask yourself the question, you know, am I okay? Have I really done, we'll say, research on my friends, my family members, to just really check in on them? One of the things that this week has really showed me and taught me is to be more observant, to be more aware of family members, friends, anyone, people I pass on the street, to be more aware, alert, and receptive to people's responses. To see beyond the smile, see beyond the frown, look inside and really get a check to say, are you okay? And honestly, folks, one thing I've realized in my life is we need to start asking the questions to ourselves, but also to other people. Am I okay? And even ask that question, and don't be afraid to say, well, that's just how she is, that's how he is at times. You know, everybody gets down, everybody fights a good fight of faith. Very true. But sometimes we need to have a good heart-to-heart talk with people that we love, and really anyone we come in contact with, and really ask them, are you okay? I think the main problem we have today in today's society is we don't really want people to know our weaknesses, our frailties. I remember one of my favorite speakers is Brené Brown. And one thing Brené Brown said one time, which is true, is we sort of view vulnerability as being a weakness. But the truth is, vulnerability is our biggest strength because it shows us who we really are and shows us that we should not be afraid to show other people who we really are. And not be afraid to show people that, you know what, hey, I'm hurting, I'm going through a hard time, I'm depressed, I'm down. And yet not allow the system of this world to tell us those things show us as being weak, as frail, we can be ran over. Can you be ran over by showing sometimes your weaknesses? Absolutely. But I would say this to you, every one of us need a support system. One of the things I love about the scriptures is when it says, in the counsel of many, there's safety. Another scripture along that verse says, in the counsel of many, there's wisdom. There's wisdom and safety, and there's comfort and strength because we all need a group of people that keep a check on us as we keep a check on them. And always ask that question, are you okay? And not be afraid to ask, and not be afraid to share our weaknesses, and not be afraid to share something to that you might think is a weakness, to say, you know what, I'm vulnerable today, I'm really down, I'm sort of depressed, I got a little anxiety going on today. It wouldn't hurt to ask those questions and not be afraid to tell people that we trust what we're dealing with, what we're going through. I think sometimes we view society and we view people as we're always running to the motivational speakers. We run to the strong. We run to the leaders. We run to the ones that shout the loudest. We run to those who are, boast the loudest. We run to those who are more famous, more popular, has the biggest church, has the biggest following, who has the podcast, who has the radio program, who has the TV show, who has the biggest ministry, who's more accurate as prophets. And we run like a bunch of, people going to rock stars, and we support, and we throw money at them, and we praise the popular, the strong, the leaders, those who are, that can prove themselves or act like they prove themselves to be the one. I got it all together. Now let me help you with your problem because I've got it together. And the truth is, life should not be that way, folks. Life should not be that we are running after the rich and famous. Life should be about the fact that every one of us are made in God's image and God's likeness. And God does not show favoritism to anyone. God doesn't show more favoritism to Joel Osteen or Joyce Meyer or Kenneth Copeland or any prophets or teachers or preachers. He doesn't show favoritism to them and say, you've got the goods, you've got the money, you've got you're more popular, you've got the biggest church. So I put you first among those who don't. God doesn't do that. God sees you equally in the eyes of Himself, just like He does with Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer, or Kenneth Copeland, or anybody else that you respect or you like, or you see as being like an idol in Christianity. The truth is, folks, we're all made in God's image and likeness, and it's time that we begin to stand together as the human race, much less the church. I mean, the church is the ones using that shoot their wounded. And it's true. We've heard that before, but it's true. The church likes those who are powerful. The church likes those who are more accurate, who can scream the loudest, preach a good sermon, throw those aha moments in there, and show the emotion, show the glitz and the glamour. We're still looking for the gold dust to fall. We're still looking for, the shaking and the quaking. And the honest truth, none of that means anything to me. None of it does. Those who run after gold dust, those who run after, meetings where they shake and quake and roll on the floor. Hey, you know what? More power to you. Great, wonderful. Don't want to judge it. However, for me, all of that is irrelevant to me. Means nothing. Doesn't mean you're more popular. Doesn't mean you're more anointed. Doesn't mean God loves you more at all. It just is what it is. And when we stop worshiping and idolizing people, and we begin to focus and look up and know that our redemption draws nigh and understand the process of seeing Christ in people, all people, then we begin to understand there is a light that Jesus says, I'm the light that lighteth every man, every single man. And when we begin to pull the light by seeing the light in other people that maybe they can't see within themselves, and we begin to focus on pulling that light to the surface and showing them how magnificent, how wonderful, how needed, how beautiful they are, then who knows how many lives we could save, how many people we could be able to really help out in this world that maybe no one thinks of them twice or no one ever gives them the time of day. I remember years ago, and those of you pastors who maybe you're hearing this podcast today and you've said, hey, you've spoken in my church, Jeremy, I'm speaking to you as well. Because I remember years ago when I was traveling and was booked for a good year or two solid for years, and I loved every moment of it. However, there are parts of it I did not care for. And the parts of it I did not care for were parts where I would see me and someone who is assisting me in my ministry fly with me to their church or the conference, and how they would, like, the ministers would and the people would just praise me and just glad to meet you and wanted to throw every title they could at me, doctor, prophet, this and this, and almost like feeling like they were in awe before a man of God, a woman of God. And yet watching the person who was with me that was assisting me, I don't even like to call them an assistant. I like to just say they were assisting me, because they're the backbone of the ministry. They're the ones who make me, not me. They're the ones that stand and behind the scenes and create a structure and a platform before I ever get into the platform. It's those people who should be celebrated. It's those people who should be honored more. And I would watch ministers look at me straight in the eye and just show no attention to them. Don't even give them the time of day, because all they were doing was quote unquote my assistant. Or in the religious world, and no offense, but this kind of terminology makes me want to throw up, to be honest with you. The adjutant. And I'm like, you know what? Can you be any more religious? But I watched that for years until finally I'd said, I've had enough. Because I realized one thing in my life, that no one is better. And I'm not better than anyone else. We're all equal in the sight of our God. And there's an old saying which is true. Servants become leaders because servants are the champions that we overlook. They're the ones that we all should be. We're the ones that actually help uphold the arms of God. Not the arms of men and women, but we uphold the arms of God, that He gets all the glory for everything we do in this world. And to all those people that are ministers, I want to share this with you. Stop, look, and listen. Be aware of what you're doing and the damage you're creating to people. Be aware of how you should never treat anyone else with more respect because of their position or their hour of power. And never exalt yourself more than anyone else in your church. Those people made you who you are. They're the ones that give you the paychecks. They're the ones that feed good comments back to you from your sermons. They're the champions. And when we start looking at people as a human race, not even as a Christian race, but as a human race, and we say people are made in His image and likeness, and everyone deserves to be respected, everyone deserves to be loved, and everyone deserves the right to say, are you okay, and care for that person. When I lost my friend this past weekend, I realized, it gave me a wake-up call, and it made me understand and realize that we can look and say, did I do enough? Did I call enough? Did I know there was a cry for help? Did I text enough? And folks, you will always ask those questions. No matter if someone takes your life or someone passes away with cancer, you'll always ask, did I do enough? Did I say enough? The truth is, folks, sometimes you have to set yourself free from that. And I had to make myself be free from, was it enough? Was it too much? Was it not enough? Did I call enough? Did I text enough? Did I check up on them enough? The truth is, you know what? You got to set yourself free from that, because at the moment death occurs, it puts us into a shock factor. Because we don't understand. And then we start condemning ourselves that maybe we could have saved them. Maybe we could have helped them. Maybe we could have done more. And maybe sometimes we could have done more. All of us could. But the truth is, we have to begin to look and say, you know what? I did what I felt like I needed to do. And set yourself free from the guilt and the pain of that. Because you're going to suffer enough pain from the loss of a loved one. No doubt. We all are. Because we love. I would rather feel pain from people that I loved so much pass away more than I would people who I feel like I don't want to have pain. I would rather have the pain because I love too much than not have pain because I didn't love at all. And I wanted to share these things with you guys today, and I want to give you just a couple of points today for you to begin to look at yourselves and recognize within yourself, but also recognize in other people. And don't be afraid to ask the questions, are you okay? Can I help you? Is there anything you want to talk about? These are important questions, folks. And I would say this to each one of you, whatever you do, don't judge anyone. Don't judge people because you feel like, oh, they're too needy. You'll always have the needy around you. Jesus said you'll always have the poor among you. But he didn't say, but treat them worse, treat them bad because they're ignorant, they're dumb, they're poor. No, he's just making a statement. You always have those among you. And the idea that he was speaking on was because you will have the poor among you and because you will always have the sick among you, the idea is still love on them. Love on them. And for God, for Christ to even recognize that, for him to even say, you will always have these people among you, even the record of that in the Bible still shows that it's recorded. So there has to be an importance when anything that Jesus said, even when he said, you'll always have the poor among you. Because it goes to show you, it wasn't the fact he was demeaning them, putting them down, saying they were dumb because they're sick or because they're poor, just they're the scum of the earth. No, what he was saying is, I'm still wanting you to recognize that you will have poor among you, and you will have sick among you, and you will have depressed among you, and you will have those that suffer from mental illness. But I want you to bring it. I want you to bring it to your attention to recognize and be aware you have those people around you. And today I wanted to sort of give you guys just a couple of points that you can help sort of navigate through yourself and people you come in contact with to where it will maybe help you or maybe save another life. Or maybe it might save you to the point where you can save yourself to say, I recognize that about me. I do need to seek help. And before I read these points, I want to say this to each one of you. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to call your mother, your father. If you don't have anyone, call a counselor. If you don't have them, call a life coach. If you don't have them, call a neighbor. Call your pastor. Call someone that you know loves you, because everybody is loved by somebody. Don't be afraid to reach out. You never know. You might say to yourself, well, you know, Jeremy, I'm not really depressed. I'm not really suicidal. Let me tell you something. One thing leads to another. Not all the time, but a lot of times it does. When we talk about like attracts like, it's true. Everything grows where you give your attention. And so if I give my attention to I'm feeling sad today, if I feed into that sadness could turn into depression. That depression could turn into suicide. You never know, folks, where things can take you. That's why, like when the Bible says, focus on things that are good, lovely, and of honest report. Why? Because those things will magnify your life in your life, and they will grow in you, and before long you won't focus on the rejection, the pain, the abandonment, the thing you went through, the thing you're sad about. You won't focus on that. You'll begin to starve that and find the joy in tomorrow. You'll begin to find that there's joy around you, and you won't get so consumed with the situations that maybe are taking you under and making you feel like you're drowning in despair, but you will begin to see how those other things of joy and love and compassion and grace will override those things. Now, once again, we're not talking about mental illness. We're not talking about people who have chronic depression. Those are serious issues, and I want to say this to each one of you. For those of you who want to say, it's a demon, I just need be delivered from it. I need to just cast it out. Let me tell you something. I'm going to speak very blunt with you because I love you. That's pure ignorance and pure stupidity. So I have no problem calling that out. That is stupidity on your part, because you have to recognize the fact that people have mental illnesses and it needs to be taken seriously. And some people need counseling. A lot of people need counseling. A lot of people need medication. And there's nothing wrong with that. When a lady once asked me from Canada one time, she said, I'm bipolar and I'm on medication. How do you feel about that? I said, can I congratulate you? She said, really? I said, yes. Let me congratulate you, because I'm proud of you that you took a step of faith to go to the doctor, get on medication, because you recognized there was an issue. I said, congratulations. That shows what a powerful woman and a smart woman you are. I think it's a time, folks, when we take a look at ourselves and take a look at those in the church and stop demonizing everything. You know, when this new movie came out, which I know many of us are not fans of scary movies, but when I saw the commercial the other day of The Conjuring Part 3 or Part 2, something like that, and it said, The Devil Made Me Do It, is a subtitle. And that stuck in my brain, because we are so used to blaming everything on some devil. And the truth is, folks, we live in a real world. We live in a world where our thoughts, the Bible says, is God's enemy. How we think is God's enemy. Our enemy is our mind, folks. For goodness sake, wake up. And that's one of the main demon devils you're going to fight against, is your thoughts. No wonder why there's targets of people who have mental illnesses, because no one has truly diagnosed them, and they're scared to go seek and get help simply because of the fact some person who had no knowledge of anything told them it was the devil and all they need to do is just bind it and they'll be fine. And many people, folks, have committed suicide over that stupid, idiotic issue. Yes, I said again, stupid, idiotic statement. Folks, take things seriously. And let me tell you, those right now who are listening to me, I want you to be set free if you think that taking medication for an illness or a problem you have is a sign of weakness. I want to first of all tell you this. Congratulations. I'm proud of each and every one of you for taking the liberty to step up and put your pride aside and go into the doctor and say, I need some help. And get the medication you're on. People nowadays make fun of psychiatrists. And it's a crying shame when people put themselves through schooling to help people that have mental illnesses. And yet we bash and come against psychiatrists as if you got to be cuckoo. We see it on TV shows. Oh, the people that are cuckoo goes to those people. And what it does is it causes people who have issues to feel like they're the crazy ones. And so they don't want to go to a psychiatrist. Let me tell you something, folks. If you need a psychiatrist today or a psychologist, I don't care if it's a counselor, motivational speaker, I don't care what it is, or doctor or medication, I want you to know today, I will take the first step to tell you I'm very proud of you. And I couldn't be more prouder of you than I am anyone else, because you took a step of faith and you put your pride aside and said, I need help. And folks, I am proud of people who take that step. And I want to congratulate you and say, good for you. I stand with you and I stand behind you for your power and your humility and your faith to do what's right, to seek and get help today. So thank you for doing the right thing. And I want to say this too. I want to give a couple of points for people. Just real quick couple of points that you can sort of keep a watch over yourself or maybe those around you when it deals with people that are depressed. And that is this. If you feel that way, I'm going to say this to you. Connect with others. Be sociable. When you see anyone in your life, or maybe you're the one, if you see anyone withdraw from people, not wanting to hang out with people, not wanting to talk a lot, I'm going to say this to you. Check on them. Ask them, are you okay? Ask them, look, I noticed you've been withdrawn recently. Are you depressed about something? Don't be afraid to ask that, folks. That's one of the first signs of depression, is when people pull away. It's not the main sign, but it is a big sign. When people start pulling away and quit being sociable, let me tell you something, folks. Take that as a red flag and jump on it. Jump on it then and check on that person, because that's a huge sign of people who get depressed and is they want to withdraw. One thing I'll recommend is if you're that person, seek help today. Don't be afraid to call your friend and say, hey, I've been pulling back, you know, and I'm sorry. I really feel like maybe I'm depressed. I really do. And call somebody who is knowledgeable, who cares, who loves you, that can truly balance out the power of prayer and also balance out the power of counseling and help, or maybe medication. Get that today. And one thing I want to recommend to you is don't withdraw. Do stuff with people constantly. Doesn't mean we don't have our moments where we're in our little, you know, sanctuary of ourselves, where maybe we're praying, we're meditating, we all need that alone time. But if you find yourself having too much alone time, just make sure, keep a check in your spirit to make sure you're okay. Is it because maybe you don't want to see people? Is it because maybe you don't know how to talk to people? Because maybe you feel a little upset or down? Find somebody to talk to. Let somebody just open you up to see exactly if you're excited about talking about life. If you're not excited about talking about life, if you're not excited maybe about, I don't know what I really want to do right now, I don't know what I want to do tonight, or maybe you feel like you're saying to yourself, I don't really care today, I'm not even that hungry, you know, or I'm not really, I don't even know what I want to do tomorrow, and you find that is in your thought process, let me tell you something. Seek help today. Call somebody that loves you. I can't emphasize that enough. There are so many hotlines and prayer lines, secular and Christian or spiritual, that really can be there for you. Don't be afraid to connect with somebody. When we say in the counsel of many, there's wisdom, we mean it. That means find somebody you can just talk to. Talking is so therapeutic, folks. It's therapeutic, it's powerful, and it's needed. We were made for conversation. Humans were. We're made for interaction. We're made for connection. We were made for one another in conversation. Don't be afraid to reach out and just, as we say in the South, spill the beans. Tell somebody. Confess your faults to one another. Don't be afraid to share. If you've got maybe problems in your heart, if you feel like maybe you've got this thing you're scared to share with somebody, maybe because it's damaging, maybe you feel like you're into pornography, maybe you feel like, you know, that, you know, you've got this bondage over here, maybe you're doing drugs on the side, maybe you feel like, you know, I have been drinking more than just a normal person who drinks, you know, or you feel like you just can't, you know, you can't seem to, you know, pull away from something that's addictive. Let me tell you something. It's okay. Everyone struggles with stuff. Every one of us struggles with stuff. And sometimes we struggle with things that people can see externally, but don't fool yourself. If you're struggling with internally with something, and yet maybe people can't recognize that, let me tell you something. That can be even more deadly and dangerous. Seek help now. Find somebody you can just talk to and say, I have been struggling with this. It doesn't show you're weak. It shows you're strong. It shows that you're powerful. And truthfully, it shows that you are a champion because you care for yourself, that you're not afraid to tell somebody your problem. So today, folks, I just wanted to sort of leave that with you. It might not be the exciting podcast many of you want to hear, but it's a serious thing because thousands of people yearly commit suicide. Thousands of people struggle with depression around the globe. Thousands of people are in addiction and bondages to something. And yet, you know what? There's also thousands of people who sought help. And there's thousands of people who found freedom and liberty from their bondages and their addictions. So I wanted to share that with you guys today because I love every one of you. And one of the things I always want to say with prophetic words, with podcasts, with my teachings, I'm the minister who's not afraid to say, you are loved by me. Sometimes people say, well, you're a guy. Is that, you know, is it safe to say, you know, you love people if they're a woman or a man? I said, let me tell you something. I'm not afraid to say I love you. If people want to take it the wrong way, that's their problem. That's their issue. That's their twisted mindset. Mine is based on the kingdom that you are loved by me. And I care for you. And I want to make sure you're okay. So if you're not okay today, folks, find someone you can call. Find someone you could talk to. Maybe if you want to just maybe email our ministry and just say, hey, you don't know me from Adam, but you know what? Can you just be praying for me today? I guarantee you my staff and I will pray for you because I know the power of prayer, but I also know the power of what love can do. One of the greatest lessons we've ever known in our lives that we could learn is God does not have love. God is love. When you are the very thing you claim to be, it can't be taken from you. You can't get mad enough to sit it down. Because you are that thing. If you just have it, you have the right to sit it down, to walk away from it, or to leave it. But God never said he had love, because God does not have love. God is agape. He is the ultimate power of unending love. And today, he truly loves you more than anything on this planet. He's not angry with you. He's not mad at you. He doesn't have wrath against you. He truly loves you how you are. Because the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, which means he loved us even when we're doing bad stuff, even when we're in our addictions, you know, or even when we hate him because maybe we blame him for something because your mother died, your dad died. It's okay. God is not threatened by that. He's not going to say, how dare you? He understands. And he truly does love you. So I wanted to leave that with you today to know you are loved more than anything. You're precious, you're beautiful, and you count. And we as a human race, much less the church, cannot survive or live without you. You are a joint, you're a piece of the puzzle that makes every one of us in this universe be able to live the life we're chosen to live. You're needed, my friend. Know we love you, and today, seek help if you feel that way. If not, put a check in your spirit, Seek your family, seek your friends, make sure they're okay. We all need to get a check in on our spirits to make sure we are all okay, and we will all be okay together, and we will make it, we will survive, because we have love for one another. The Bible says this, I'll leave you with this. The Bible says, someone asked Jesus, how would they know we're just your disciples? He said, by the love you have for one another. He didn't even say the love you have for God, which we know that is biblical. But he says, the love you have for one another. Folks, today, love one another. It's the greatest gift we've been given in our lives. By the way, as we leave the podcast today, as always, go and create the day you want. Go and create the day and the life you want. And use that paintbrush for the good. Paint things in your life on the canopy or the tapestry of your life of the joy and the victory. And even today, paint a new you. Paint a new you that says, today I'm going to be more aware of myself. Today I'm going to be aware of my family. Today I'm going to be aware more of people in general. And I'm going to paint that into my future. Have a good day. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.